few announcements before the homily. First, a reminder that right after Mass, we have our weekly Miraculous Medal Novena, so I invite you to stay and join us in that prayer. The deacon and I and the servers will go over to the statue. We ask that you please remain where you're seated in order to observe the social distancing we're requested to observe. Also, right after Mass, confessions will continue until the last penitent. So if that goes to 1:30, so be it, but confessions are available right after Mass. I do encourage you to avail yourself of the graces of that sacrament. A few other reminders. Today we begin our new office and building hours, so the building will be open from 10 a.m. to 2:30. So 2:30 we close today. As a reminder, looking forward, please recall that on Wednesday our adoration will begin. We'll conclude at 2:30 as well. So rather than it being 3:30 as we've been doing, it's going to be 2:30. Benediction will be at 2:30 to conclude that adoration. And I know some people were asking about Saturday morning's Mass for the Assumption. You recall that the obligation is lifted because the holy day falls on Saturday. People were asking, well, is that Mass going to be live streamed? And, you know, we had not even thought of that until someone asked. So now, yes, it will be live streamed, right? So those who are not able to be at Mass or don't feel comfortable, that Mass will be recorded, will be live streamed and recorded. So that will be Saturday at 11 a.m. It's still a holy day. It's still the Assumption. It's just not a holy day of obligation because it falls so close to the Sabbath. As you're leaving Mass today, you'll see there are a few books in the narthex, a few extra books. I was supposed to give a talk on the Lord's Prayer, the book I wrote, and that event was canceled. There are a few extra copies. Regrettably, I have to ask that you purchase them. I can't give them to you, unfortunately. I had to pay for them, and now I'm kind of like, okay, what do I do with that, right? So if you're able to grab a book, great. If not, don't worry about it. So those are available if you'd like one. Also, today we are very blessed to see one of our first Holy Communicants receive her first Holy Communion. So we congratulate Erin and her family. We thank her parents, Dan and Pam, for forming her and preparing her, for having her here today. So Erin, congratulations on this first Holy Communion day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, so today is the feast of St. Lawrence. And as I was mentioning earlier, he was one of the deacons of the early church. It was always common that whenever the Holy Father, the Bishop of Rome, would celebrate Mass, he'd always have seven deacons with him. Those were to assist with the celebration of the Mass, but also as the church grew, the deacons then took the Blessed Sacrament to other communities, that we would now call going to the homebound or to those communities that were new and maybe didn't have a priest yet. So the deacons were very close to the ministry of the Bishop of Rome. Well, on one occasion, the Pope was celebrating Mass in the catacombs, and the imperial authorities came. They took the Pope and all seven deacons outside of the catacombs. They martyred the Pope. They martyred six of the deacons. They spared Lawrence. They said, we're going to spare you because you need to go. You need to get all the treasures of your church, and you need to bring them back to us. Because they thought that the early Christian church was wealthy. It was far from wealthy, let me tell you. Most of the Christians early church were very poor, but they were generous. They were generous. And because of the outstanding service to the poor, to the vulnerable, to the weak, the Romans thought that the Christians must be wealthy because you would only give such money if you had money. But again, we were just generous. So the imperial authorities tell Lawrence, you go and you get all the treasures and you bring them back to us. Lawrence obeyed. He went. Sometime later, he showed back up. And with him were the widows and the orphans and the sick and the maimed and the forgotten and the foreigner. And the imperial authorities said, what is this? And Lawrence said, well, you asked for the treasures of my church. These are the treasures of the Christian church. Of course, that didn't go over very well, did it? Right? Because he had mocked the imperial authorities with the truths of our faith. Never forget, dear people, that the real treasures of our church are the vulnerable, the forgotten, those on the periphery. The treasures of the church are the severe elderly, the terminally ill, and the unborn, all of whom now have a death sentence placed upon them by the fallenness of our culture. We rally, we protect, we defend, we cherish. They are the treasures of our church. We are radical in our assertion that every human being is made in the image of God. Every human being merits the protection of law. and to be cherished for their life, not what they can do, not what pleasure we might get from them, but simply because they exist. This is our assertion because we acknowledge that God became a man. We sometimes take this for granted. This was unknown before the Christian faith, just as it is being forgotten in the post-Christian world. Life only has dignity or purpose if it serves utility. They're going to die anyway. We might as well hurry it up. Well, they have special needs. We don't need those people around. They just suck all our resources. And other such horrible philosophies of life that we find prominent in our world today. A post-Christian world, a return to barbarism. But in the ancient world, the barbarism was converted by the Christian faith. So today we are called to be the exception. Lawrence came, he brought the true treasures of the church. What are the treasures of our hearts? If someone were to say to you, go and get the treasures of your life, the treasures of your household, what would you bring? I pray that every baptized Christian would bring the vulnerable, the forgotten, the weak, and would ignore the jewelry, the dividends, the vacations, the exaggerations of luxury we find so prominent in the West. Instead, to remind ourselves who the true treasures are, our real treasures. Of course, because Lawrence had mocked the imperial authorities, they had to make an example out of him. So they took the holy deacon, they took him out to the public, they laid him over charcoals, and they placed a grill on top of him. They began to push down on that grill. Imagine that pain. First of all, just a grill on your body, but then you're being pushed into charcoals. Lawrence begins to laugh. What we call in the spiritual tradition, holy laughter. He begins to laugh. Like, what's wrong with this guy? Begins to laugh. He says, I'm done on this side. You can flip me over. Right? They didn't find that very funny. I find it hilarious, right? They flipped him over. He died a holy death for our faith. You know, the church continuing his humor. St. Lawrence is the patron saint of cooks. Isn't that great? Right? See, the church has some humor, right? You gotta look for it. Today, we're reminded, dear friends, of the call that we have to protect the vulnerable, the weak, to acknowledge the real treasures of our church. In the midst of our fight and our battles for goodness and holiness and righteousness, we don't lose our sense of humor. We don't become bitter or overwhelmed. We have won, dear friends. All this is a replay in slow motion. We can battle and fight. And even when we think that we have lost or that the other side has won, we should have that holy laughter and realize the victory has already been given. Our task is to show up, stay faithful, and keep fighting.